This is Hannah.
This is Rachel.
And this is
What I'd Like to Tell People.
Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Hannah.
How was your week?
It's okay. How was your week?
It's okay. We did the time change, so now it is dark and the weather's been so weird. It was so warm the past couple days. Like, did you know? You probably didn't. So we're recording this on Monday. So it was like 75 degrees here today. And I have a coworker in Phoenix. And it was 70 degrees when I was talking to him. And I was like, what is going on with the weather? Like, Phoenix this time can be like 90 degrees. I feel like we have like swapped the weather, which is really like
we did the opposite. Yeah, we're like, no, we didn't want this. We wanted
I told people, and I reminded, at least I told my mom, like, because it got cold super fast. Like the minute September like 22nd happened, I think that was the first day of fall, it was like 30 degrees. It was like 30 degrees. It was like extremely cold. And I was like, I bet we will have like some 80 degree days in like October, which really now it's November. And I was like, because extremes follow extremes. And I know your brother's a meteorologist. I'm not. I'm just guessing on these things.
So I don't know. This is so cute. But, well, yes, you know, I forget. He tells me way too much.
But that's what I predicted this.
No, but it's true that because that's what happened also. Not that I was with the warm weather, but that's what happened last year when we had really, really warm during, what's it called, the winter time. It was extremely warm, what, in January or something? All of a sudden, it was freezing again. Like,
yeah, we get, like, all four seasons in 1 week.
As one does. It's like a big old mood swings all in 1 week. You get the whole, I swear.
No, we don't know where Mother Nature is going to
be. Especially in DMV area. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I know,
well, where
I know
I'm
in
from
general,
in West Virginia, we get pretty much the same weather where I'm from. And it's really funny because people talk about, like, oh, only in West Virginia. And I'm like, it is here too.
It's right here. We're all connected right there. What is wrong with it? Okay, we'll put everyone there.
So it was snowing in Washington State today because my former band director, she lives there, and I saw that. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's 75 degrees here, and it's snowing there. But anyway, so this episode we just finished. So we, unfortunately, the person that was going to be this week, her father passed away the day of the interview. So we send out condolences to her and her family, and hopefully we will get her on at a later date. And I feel really bad because last week I was like, oh, we're not going to mention the name because what if something happens? And I feel like I put it out there. So I feel really bad. I know I did not kill her father, but I still feel really bad that I put something out there. But anyway, we talked to Kara from Tiny Llama, or like founder, owner of Tiny Llama. And we just finished the conversation 12 minutes ago. So usually we record and then record this, but it was super fast. But yeah, it was a really cool, like, her story is really cool, her background, and it's really amazing that she's doing it by herself too.
It really was such a fun episode. Okay, enjoy.
Hello, everyone. We are here with Kara, and I never even asked you, are you the owner of Tiny Llama?
Yes.
Okay, so we're here with the owner of Tiny Llama, and that is located in Thomas, West Virginia. So not where I'm originally from, but I found you kind of through people that I'm from, and I love your Instagram and love that you do different classes, and I saw that you actually have some classes or a class offered. So this airs on Thursday. And I wrote it down and now I can't find. Oh, you have a knit and crochet night at 6 p.m. on the day that this airs, which is really cool.
We might have to listen to it while we're knitting along.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Anyone to say hello to as they listen? But so how did you get started? How did you start your business?
So it kind of just unfolded. I came through Thomas on a whim, and it was just a place that really snagged me, and I kept staying longer and longer. And then with all the galleries, you just walk on the street and you get so inspired. And so for me, it was like, we need to have a place that sells supplies. And it started with really me feeling a lack of quality materials around. You have to travel like an hour to go to Michael's or AC Moore. And I'm a bit of a yarn snob, and everything that they carry is acrylic and not very high quality. So for me, I wanted to have those materials, and then talking to other artists in the town, they were like, it would be great to have a place we can just go and not have to worry about shipping and all that. So then it just slowly got the ball rolling, and what really like got the ball yarn rolling. Ball. Though, yeah.
Like the yarn ball rolling.
Right. What actually really set the yarn ball rolling was there was a pitch, like a business pitch contest. And one of my friends, Ann Farmer, she would just kept like poking me to, she's like, you should do that. You should do that. And I'm like, I'm not anywhere near ready to start a business right now. And she's like, it doesn't matter. Like, just practice your pitch and do it. So I did, and I ended up winning. And so it just kind of like put everything into like order, kind of what I wanted the business to be. And then winning, I'm like, okay, I guess I have to do it now. So yeah, that's how it started.
Where are you originally from? So you said that you just kind of stayed, if you want to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually from Fairview, West Virginia. Okay. So in Marion County.
Okay. So is it far? It's not too far from Thomas.
It's about 2.5 hours.
Okay, 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So not too far.
Yeah, it's like
How did you even get started with like crafting and things like that? Or knitting, I should say, not really crafting, but
right. So with knitting, I learned as a kid from my mom. She had gone to class and came home and just showed me the basics, and I kind of just took off with it. But like with many things, I put it down for years and like was concentrating on sports and school and things like that. And then I was taking, it was about like probably 8 to 10 years ago, I was taking online classes, and I just felt so unproductive sitting in front of the computer the whole time, and I needed to do something with my hands, so I picked up knitting again, and then pretty much just haven't stopped since then.
What was your favorite thing you knitted so far?
I would say my favorite thing is a scarf that I have that is, yeah. It's actually a pattern from a guy named Stephen West, and it's very funky, lots of patterns and super fun. And so that's my favorite thing right now that I wear all the time.
So what is,
I'll have to see it.
What is your background? Like, how did you even?
So my background is actually exercise physiology. Yeah, I was planning on going to physical therapy school, and after my 4 years of undergrad, I was like, I cannot look at another book, and decided I was going to take the gap year. Turned into a gap forever year, but I'm not sad about it. I went and traveled, and it kind of took the blinders off for me of like, oh, there, I can do something else. I don't have to like
stick with this path.
Yeah, that I wasn't super happy with, so.
It sounds like I came full circle almost. Like, you got shown this, like, wonderful knitting and everything. And then, like, oh, you got pushed away to do sports and everything. And now it's full circle again. You're back to arts and everything. And
yeah.
It's really absolutely nice.
I don't know if you all had to take those. I forget what they were, like, these little tests that you took in school. And
SOL.
They told you. Is that, like, where they, like, where it tells you what you would be good at?
Oh yeah, I think it is. It's I'm trying to think, but yeah, I had to take it in 8th grade.
Yeah, and I remember it always was something like, it was always like arts and photography and things like that. But even my counselor would you know, pushed me in other directions because, you know, you don't make money in the arts.
And so. It's so funny. My parents did the opposite, too, because that's where my counselor got excited was like, finally, parents who are saying, do something you love, do this, do that, because support your child or else. So it's interesting how that. And guess what? Again, full circle, you've gone back to something that your that little test said that whatever that test is.
Yeah.
Like,
like an altitude test?
Aptitude. Yeah, and that's funny. So your test was right is all I'm getting.
Yes. I wish I would have listened. Not that I regret like my study. Like I appreciate the education that I got and the experiences I've had, but.
Well, the journey you have. Think
so
about
say
it.
Altitude like testings that. For oxygen. So I'm just going to put that out. That is not what.
What is it called? It's something with the at.
I think it's aptitude, right?
It's with an A. I know it's at altitude, but
career aptitude. 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 Sorry. Anyway, I wanted to
I'm glad you looked it up because I'm like, I think that's
people, because there's somebody screaming and probably someone in your knitting class. It's like, it is aptitude. Like while they're listening.
See? But that's really amazing though. So what so do you have like a beginner advanced classes then and or different themes within this amazing obviously shop that you have?
So it's actually I'm just getting started with the classes. It was something that I was planning on doing and then the pandemic hit and so it just didn't make sense. And so we put a pause on workshops and classes. So I'm just getting things underway again. October was my first month and then this month is the first month of really getting into the knitting because I've been scheduling everybody else because I have a plethora of classes. Like this month I have a wreath making class, natural perfumery, weaving. So
much different ones.
Yeah.
How did you get started at even doing the classes at your shop?
Well, mainly it was every single person coming, not every, but so many people coming into the shop and constantly asking, like, do you have classes? And a lot of it is people for knitting and crochet, because that is part of the shop. But I carry a little bit of everything from paints to journaling. And I also have a creative reuse center or reuse section where people donate used art supplies and then people can
repurpose. You're doing reuse, repurpose. That's
awesome. So then it's on a sliding scale so people can pay what they want, and because art supplies can get pretty pricey. So
people make fun of me for saving certain things, and I actually used it on a spider I made last week for Halloween. Everyone can make fun of me.
That's
you
great.
Never know when you might need something.
Exactly.
Yeah. So do you have like different age clientele then, since do you see like younger people more interested in knitting than what you would think?
Yeah, it's a mix, I would say. And then I do have classes, you know, that are like 13 and up or like 5 and up.
So you do have like 16 and up classes for certain ages.
Right. And I think that, and then, you know, with, like I said, I'm just getting things started. So with like knit classes and stuff, you know, what I expect to do is like one-on-one or groups. So then it wouldn't really be about age. It would be more about beginner, intermediate, advanced.
And what, like, you're more comfortable with, et cetera. And then do you have like, so you said you were doing with one of the ones you were offering is wreath making this month or for next month or whatever you just said. Mm-hmm. And you would bring in different, not vendors, but different types of people and you just email or do they contact you?
I have all the classes up on my website, which is the easiest place, and they can just go sign up there.
And I saw you can like Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and I saw, like, for people, like, they can just, like, click on it and, like, easily, like, access it and, like, schedule and do the payment. And
right.
I thought that was
And awesome. If they wanted to be a teacher for your classes, or is it just –
They can contact me. All my information is on the website. Social media is an easy place to get a hold of me. And that's how I got the teachers that I have now, was mainly from a call out on social media.
Wonderful. Yeah, I was very curious because I know, like, yeah, social media, yeah, plays a big role, but you never know if it's word of mouth around. Awesome.
And I'll make sure for the people that are listening, if they're nearby, that I'll include that in the episode notes, your website, so they can easily find it. And do you ever offer anything remote, or is it always in store, in person?
It's always in store and in person right now. I am working on, I had fraudulent activity happen on my website. So I had to start all over from scratch. It was very heartbreaking and upsetting, but I'm just getting, like, back around to getting my website up to par. So eventually I would love to offer more on my website, but right
now. I say, yeah, back burner for right now. Keep that stress off of it. I got hacked on my phone. So no, I think in person is also nice too. Now that the pandemic is, not that, like, it's at ease and stuff, and now people are wanting to, you know, and then maybe revisit.
Right. I think people are looking for more experiences than, like, you know, we all have to sit in front of a computer so often. So,
well, and it's probably hard to tell someone that they're doing something wrong when it's watching a video. If it's like an art project or something, it's easier if you're watching them struggle in person.
It's true to see if they're doing something, not to be mean, like what happens with their hands. You don't know if they're holding it or not.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's people, for me, I do have a tendency to learn pretty easily from YouTube, but I get told from a lot of people that, you know, for some reason their brain does, they need to see it like from a person sitting next to them, where I think sometimes you have to, like, switch things in your brain when you're looking at it on a screen. So I think, you know, anything, there's people that learn differently.
Yeah. And I think it's like with YouTube, it can go fast. They can kind of skip some steps, and like in person, you can kind of slow it down and be like, okay, here's this one step. Now I'm going to wait for you to do it versus, I know you can pause YouTube.
Or show a different way too.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's a little more linear. So with your store, is it just you? Do you own it? Because I feel like I usually do a bunch of research and I couldn't find like anything about your store on
a
your
good
website.
Thing. Surprise for Hannah tonight.
Yeah. So I just get to ask you a bunch of random questions. So
yeah, no, that's great. And it's funny because I am trying to get better at putting my face in front of the camera because I have a tendency, you know, my comfort places behind the camera. So trying to, you know, do more of like I said, my website isn't up to par, so I need to do like an about section.
I'm not downing your site. I'm sorry.
it's more that Hannah does a lot of research, which is a good thing.
Yes.
And now, but you beat her is what happened. You beat her because now you're more mysterious than ever.
Well, I know you have an amazing table that you can expand and do things from your Instagram. I do remember you posting that. That was a while ago that you posted. And you recently had a company come in for typing or printmaking too. So,
which is really cool.
So I know that from your Instagram. But so tell us about like your store. Like, do you just run it by yourself, or how does that work?
Yeah. So right now it's just me. I am kind of in that middle place where hopefully soon I can hire somebody. Having extra hands would be wonderful. But right now it's just me, and I share the space. So there's two storefronts. It's my space, and then I share the space with Nelly Rose Textiles.
Okay.
And so it's perfect because neither of us have employees yet. So, but we're connected in a way where it's easy for one of us to step out, or like if we need a weekend or to go on vacation, one of us can hold down the fort for both of us.
So did they have the same hours? Because I saw that you are closed Monday through Wednesday. So is that the same for them too?
Yeah. And so the way that Thomas is a lot of people are here Thursday through Sunday. We're rather slow, especially in the wintertime, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Although I know there's a lot of people who do come into town who are probably a little bit disappointed because there's not a whole lot open those days, but it's pretty like the other shops are kind of similar in their hours. There's a few that are open more often, but it just doesn't make sense as a small business to be open on those days that there's not a lot of foot traffic.
Yeah. And so your classes are later in the evenings, right? Because I saw that you're open from noon to five. Is that, or six? Yeah. Or five?
Noon to five.
Oh, I had that right. Okay, noon to five.
Yeah.
And then your classes are in the evenings, I assume?
Yeah, it just makes sense because I do have such a tiny space. Mm-hmm. There's not room to do both. So just being open the hours for people to be able to get their supplies and then afterwards close up for the workshops.
Yeah. No, my dad's a small business owner and he like keeps cutting his hours and just kind of like does whatever because he is just like, he has one employee, but he's like, I don't want to be open. I just want to, you know, do so I get like just sitting in a store. But,
exactly. Yeah. I started off with 10 to 7. 6 days a week.
That's
a commitment. Yeah.
And very quickly was like, okay, this is not sustainable. And then after, you know, the midst, of course, we're still kind of in the pandemic, but in the midst of it, I think it was a realization of, you know, you get just as much finished having fewer hours and like looking at the numbers, you make the same amount and mm-hmm. It's just like my noon to five is kind of the happy medium.
Yeah. Cause the people are still going to come, they still need them. So they're just going to work at your schedule. You like try to come for like during your schedule. And I feel like Saturdays are like, as long as you're open, that's a Saturday, then people will make it work. So what are your plans? Do you have like a 5-year plan? I know I hate that question, but at the same time, do you have like any
goals? It is a good question, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a continuation of, you know, I've been at this for about 4 years now. I started off as a kind of a small kiosk version in the back of another art gallery here. And then have been in this storefront for 3 years now. And so really, I feel like it has just taken time to experiment, see what works, what doesn't. So honestly, I really think that like it's going to be 5 more years before it really turns into what my vision is, because I did not start with a lot of capital. This has been a small, you know, small, slow growing business. So, I have a few other things kind of business plans, like side things, but none that's really ready to be talked about.
That's fine. But do you have any ones that you could a little bit at all with that?
Well, business? I was going to ask, like, when you did your business plan, what did that have? Like, what was your original vision? And when you won the contest? I'm
pretty much at that, you know, the being at the 4 to 5 years, and it's fun to go back and look at the business plan because there's a lot of times you feel pretty stagnant and like you feel like you're not growing and you're like, is this actually working? So it was a lot of fun. Not too long ago, I actually looked at my business plan and to see, like, to check mark all the things that, oh, okay, I did do that. And I did that. And I did that. Like, so it is fun to, you know, so I should probably create another business plan, like just as a, you know, a growth model. But there's the two storefronts, like mine and Nellie's, that are connected. And then in the back, we have our studio space. So there's a full kitchen back there that we're really wanting to turn into a dye work kitchen. And then we have our sewing machines and different things back there. So I think that's kind of the next step is getting, right now the kitchen is our storage space. So getting it to an actual working condition and for us to be able to produce more of our own things as well.
So do you do the classes with Nellie's or have you done like some collaborations?
So she is, so she is separate from it right now, but it is such a tiny space. Like she's definitely still a part of it.
she's
all the time. You know, it's really great. We get to lean on each other because we do feel like we're very much business partners at this point because we're just together all the time and we have our separate businesses, but we very much like use each other as sounding boards and, you know, how to like what we want to do next. And with Brandon, different ideas that we have, we bounce it off of each other.
Coupons for each other.
Yeah.
Brandon, like how do
so people...
people
come into the space and they don't realize that we're separate spaces?
Yeah, I was just wondering.
But that's,
how do they pay? Are they like, where do I go? Does that happen?
Well, it's funny. So our storefront, we laugh about it all the time because we don't know what else to really do to make it look like we're separate. Our storefronts are two different colors. And when you walk in, you hit like a barrier and you have to go right or left. So I feel like it's always a psychology project to see which direction the person is.
It's like a sheep thing or something. Like, let's herd you this way or this way.
How big is the barrier? Is it like...
Yeah. Well, you can immediately tell a person's personality of like if they're people... Like if they get drawn to people or if they're kind of more like, oh, there's people on this side, so I'm going to go to the other side. Or the people are like, oh, there's people on this side, I want to go to that side too.
What color are your storefronts?
Pink and yellow.
Which one's yours?
The yellow one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's more of also psychology with colors too.
Yeah. And I think, and so it's funny because people will see like the... It depends on which side of the street you're walking. So you'll walk from one side and you'll see the signage for my shop. So people will walk in and they'll walk into Nellie's side and be like, you don't see any of the knitting stuff. And I'm like, over here.
You guys are on the wrong side.
How big is the barrier?
Like you guys have the mirror.
Can they see over the barrier? Is it like down? Do you have
it's a wall. It's like so it's not, so we have a wall that divides us. And so when you walk in, there's two entryways.
Okay.
So they hit like the
divide. It's sort of get confused though on the street, I guess, because the signs. So maybe you have to have more signs going this way. There's an arrow this way.
It is really
and the yellow one.
Right. And I think people are just, you know, they're relaxed and just like walking the street. And so the brain's not completely turned on. And they're like, wait, what's happening? Because we laugh too because there's people who like read all the signage out loud to each other. we laugh about that. But then when we go other places, we're like, oh my gosh, we're doing that. We're reading the signs to each other.
I think it's an age thing. Like the older you get, the more you just like start reading signs out loud. Like I think it just becomes the thing you do as a person.
And then, it's so true. Yeah. And then you just keep rereading it too, thinking.
Yeah. There's a place in Alexandria that is like a Christmas store and like something else. Yeah. And I once was with somebody and we like went into the store and it's just all the same store. And we like kind of walked around the Christmas, but we went out one door and then they have like two separate entrances and we walked in again and we were like, this looks like the other place. Like we got so confused and I'm sure, and that just kind of like reminds me. I'm like, you're like in your own world, like not truly paying attention. And then you're like, wait, where am I? What did I just like walk into? So
I was in Christmas land and now I'm not.
Yeah. Well, no, it's like you end up being in the same store, but you think you're going into another store because there's two doors.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's like Yeah, very funny. Do you have a hidden camera anywhere where you can, like, watch these back?
No, that would probably be a good thing just to have in general, like, but no, it would be pretty funny, though.
Yeah. If for some reason, I'm going to mute you. It's echoing. Okay. Now I think the echo has gone. Can you hear okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. That was strange. All right. I think we're good. Sorry about that.
So are you doing any, I know this has nothing to do with like your business necessarily, but are you doing any art projects with your yarn right now or knitting or are you focusing more on your business, obviously?
Yeah. So eventually I want to get into more production, and I'm always knitting something. I always have something in my hands that I'm making. Is it still on the other? Sorry.
It keeps, I don't know muted, if you keep unmuting on Google and I keep muting you because it'll echo.
Okay, I see.
Are you unmuting it? Are we like having like this weird like mute?
Are you guys having a war with each other? Like, what is
this? Well, it kept telling me like I was talking, but my mic was off, and I forgot that we were recorded on the. Yes, so we were definitely having a microphone battle.
These guys over here having a microphone battle. So poor
yeah, I was like,
I'm so sorry. Yeah,
echoing in my
maybe
ear.
We should have something in your hands right now so you don't do this microphone battle.
It popped up all of a sudden, like it. So I exited it, like the thing of like, oh, you're muted, and I'm like, oh no, maybe I bumped something and muted myself.
And then I'm like, she keeps unmuting. Let me like mute it. That's so funny. Yes. But anyway, Lord. So your art projects, that's what we were talking about.
Yes.
You were saying you always have something in your hands, which I figured as much. Yes. But I just was wondering if you were working on anything larger or for yourself or for anyone. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely, like I said, I always have some sort of project in my hand that I'm knitting and work. And I do a lot of things for like exchange work with friends and things like that. That's, and then I like to delve a little bit in everything, not just knitting, but especially with products that I buy, I like to make sure that I like to use them. And always doing something, but I don't produce anything right now. Just it's definitely the shop takes up most
which
of
is
my
good
time right
because
now.
That's your baby. And that's, I was just curious. Plus, you know, the good news is you have that in your hand still while doing it. So. You're still doing it for yourself.
Right. Yes.
There was something I was going to say, and now all I can think about is how we had a muting battle. But, like, I'm just like,
I'm going to have my coworker, Abby, come to your shop. Because she actually is going, she's taking a week long, what's it called?
Sabbatical.
What's it with the yarn? It's on the board.
Like a yarn crawl.
Well, it's a board.
Oh wait, she's like, making something.
Yeah, she's actually making it. She's very weaving. Yeah, she's weaving, and it's a week long one in Philadelphia.
Oh nice!
And it's an intensive, and she just loves she loves yarn and doing all that. So I'm gonna have to introduce her to your shop.
You said there's a yarn crawl. So people like have yarn crawls
then, probably.
Yeah, that actually happened to me one time. I was at Virginia Beach, and I was on my way home, and I always stop at this one yarn shop, and I realized there was a yarn crawl going on in the direction that I was going home. And luckily, I was driving by myself because no one else in their right mind would want to join me, but I went to like 20 stores in one day.
How many did you go to?
It was like, it felt at least 20. I mean, maybe not that many. Maybe it was fewer, but they were like kind of far. It was like they were spread.
It felt like a lot.
Are you able to get
an entire day endeavor?
Are you able
to get on
the call?
I got home a lot later than I intended.
Do you think, are you able to, like, your store, could it participate?
That would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, there might be. We're pretty far out here, and there's a couple. I'd say there's a couple yarn shops that I know have closed, unfortunately. There might be another one that's open. I think there's one that is opening in Philippi, or she may have opened, but there's not a lot. Yarn shops are hard, and that's kind of why I went into a more art supply, like a
broad one.
Yeah.
Because
yarn is expensive, and it's hard to, you know, and it kind of can be seasonal for some people. So I think for me, it just made more sense to do art supplies instead of just focusing on one thing.
My aunt actually
have a little dabble with all of them. Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, my aunt had a quilting store. It just recently closed because she's in her 90s, but she did mostly like quilting, like supplies, and then she would do like a little art on top of that. So she or like different art supplies or different like sewing and yarn. And I mean, it was like. I remember when I was little, we used to go, and this has nothing to do with anything, just popped in my head. We used to go. She had these like big like boxes full of fabrics and things like that, and we used to like just play in the different fabric. But I feel like it's not you don't really because I was trying to think like I wonder what kind of quality of yarn she had because she focused mostly on quilting, and I know it's kind of sad for like the community that it's kind of closing because there was a lot of churches that had these like quilt clubs where I'm from. Aww. And so I like also speaking of that, are there a lot of like older ladies that are very excited that you have that they now have this like knitting or they have like you do sell high quality yarn at your store?
Yeah, so it kind of goes back and forth. I think some people, when they walk in, they see, like, knitting and stuff, they walk in, and when it's not an entire store of it, they're like, oh, that's all you have? It's like this little...
So they expect, like, a plethora. Yeah.
It's not an endless...
That sounds like my snobby ass in my art store in D.C. I'm like, well, I was expecting this, and you didn't have that.
Yeah, and I think it can be a little bit confusing for some people because it's an art supply shop.
Right.
And so when they, like, walk in here, it can be a little bit... Like, oh, there's not more, but there's
so
definitely.
You offer the knitting classes, so they should be.
Yeah.
And you're there, and you could say, look, hi. Look at
all this. And I think for others, they just get excited, that there is
so
yarn.
And I feel like we have focused on that. So what are the other art supplies do you offer? I know you mentioned, like, the paints and things like that. So what can you find if you go there?
Yeah, so the way that I kind of work to where I try to – because I can't compete with big box stores and online, I try to carry more unique art supplies. So I like to find a lot of things that are either small businesses or small makers.
Nice.
So, for example, I – like two of my favorite paints are natural earth paint and beam paints, and both of those are – made from natural pigments, both women owned. The beam paint is an indigenous owned business out of Canada. And so I really try to source as locally as possible. So of course with that, like, Canada is not that local, but I do also try to find local artists. Like, for example, I have handmade paper by Nevada Tribble, who is out of Elkins. And I have, I'm trying to think, like, I need to look around, like, what have in here? Because there's, like, a couple other, like, I find a lot of my, like, the people that I like to buy from on Faire, F-A-I-R-E, and I can go on there, and it's for retailers, and I can find, like, women-owned, not on Amazon, and different things like that. So that's kind of where I'm at. I carry the staples. You know, everyone loves Micron pens. That seems to be, like, one of the most popular things. But, yeah, so guess that's kind of like trying to think.
Oh. Your inventory.
No, it's like, it's funny because it's just me here. So like the inventory is usually just like in my head. And like right now that like every, it's all like exploding in my head of like, what do I want to talk about? All of it.
How did you come up?
All of this is amazing.
How did you come up with the name?
So this space that I'm in now used to be a grocer's. And I worked there and we had a little tiny llama figurine that the owner, she, where her brother had gifted it to her or something. And I forget how we got into even talking about llamas, but she brought that to work one day and it became the little like mascot for if anyone was having a bad day, you would get the tiny llama. And when I worked there, the business plan of having an art supply was just forming. And so I was trying to figure out a name. And one day somebody was like, name it Tiny Llama. And that just stuck. And so, and sorry, there's trucks that drive by here. So there's loud noises. So it's ironic that I'm back in the space because unfortunately the grocers didn't work out because it's a hard business to do here, but it feels like a nice of honoring of the space to be able to name it Tiny Llama.
Do you still have do you have like a tiny llama hanging around or?
So it was cute because she was like, I can't give you this because like her brother had gifted it to her, but she made a like a tiny little painting of it for me.
Aww. Well, that's really nice. Let's take a short break and talk about sweater weather.
Or hoodie weather. We have hoodies people can purchase on our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com.
And make sure when you order your hoodie or merch to use our listener code, telling people to receive 15% off, found in our episode notes.
Now back to our show. Tara, what would you like to tell people?
Yes, so I would first just like to let people know that I exist, that yes, there's an art supply shop in Tiny Thomas, Little Thomas, West Virginia, called Tiny Llama, and that you can get all your go-to supplies here, and really it's about, I like love to be able to inspire people. They walk down the street, get inspired by all the amazing art. And I like for people to know that they can do it too. And I love the community aspect of what art and art supplies do. You know, having workshops, teach people different things, from knitting to weaving to painting, sketching, all the things. So to definitely keep up with social Tiny Llama on social media, or they can go to my website, which is tinyllamawv.com, and they can see all the list of workshops there. And right now it is just me, but hopefully soon I will have more hands on deck, but which will hopefully also mean that eventually I will have my website fully up to par and there will be an online shop as well. But right now it is solely brick and mortar. But yeah, so we'd love people to come say hi.
Any advice you want to give anybody, or if not, it's okay.
I think when it comes to small business, especially in small town West Virginia, is it takes a lot of tenacity. It takes a lot of the, like, when things get rough, having your community is so important. Like, I think it's easy to tell people the good things that are happening, and it's not always easy to share with people when you're struggling. But having a community that can help when you're like, hey, things aren't working out very well, and you have your friends and community that are, like, help pick you up and dust you off and keep going, because it is definitely not an easy thing. But at the same time, I feel so lucky every day to be in the space that I am, surrounded by the people that I am and getting to do what I love all the time. So, or at least 98%. I say I love what I'm doing 98% of the time. The other 2%, you know, with taxes and all the lovely
the side of things
of being a business owner.
Being a grown up.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was really nice to meet you. And I know I just like randomly reached out because I saw that a lot of people we've interviewed, like Basecamp Printing, and I'm trying to think of all the other people followed you. And I was like, oh, this looks like a really cool little shop.
Great. Yeah. Well, I'm so happy you reached out. And this was a lot of fun. Definitely. This is a new experience for me. So thanks for having me.
Hannah, what did you think about this episode?
Well, as always, she's from West Virginia, so I guess I have to say, you know, I'm always biased. I love supporting a small business in West Virginia, and she's actually, I looked it up, 3 hours and 37 minutes away from the D.C. area, so if anybody's listening, they can go. So she's not from where I'm from. She's almost kind of at the – so Thomas is kind of almost at the Eastern Panhandle, a little further in, so not too far from the area. But not where I'm from, but I found her through other mutual people, and I just thought she has such a cute little story. I love her, like, Instagram and all the colorful things she posts and all the things she does, and I'm really excited to see all the different classes. And right now, if they are listening, you know, at the Knit and Crochet Night, that's at 6 p.m. So if you're listening to this Thursday morning, make sure you go because I believe it's free is what it said on the website. So check that out. And I think it'll be really funny if they are listening live while doing it while we're talking. I love supporting small businesses. You know, my dad owns a small business, so I know the struggle, the sweat, the tears, the blood that can go into that. And I know, you know, she's been doing it, I think she said, for 4 years, almost five. And so she hopes in another 5 years to be able to meet some other goals, sell things online, like update the website and do all these things. And so I can't wait to see her, you know, succeed and do all those things. And I think it's really cool that she shares a space with another small business. And I really, you know, liked listening that she just kind of happened to come upon Thomas and just stay and decide that's where she was going to open this art supply store and, you know, name it Tiny Llama. And I think that's just such a catchy name as well. But I'm excited to see what kind of growth she's going to have. And I think the classes are just going to take off. And I wish she were closer, because I would love to be able to do a class. And I know my mom wish she was closer to her because she would love to do knitting, and she offers that because I feel like it's kind of a lost art. And so it's really exciting to see that there's people that are offering those hands-on classes. And I think it's kind of, you know, there's a whole TikTok with knitting and like people doing all these crazy things. So I think it's picking up and people are picking up those skills that they've kind of lost and throughout the years, but it's like really coming back. You know, I know her store is not just about knitting and we kind of focused on that, but it's more of art supplies. But since she is offering those classes, it kind of, you know, we kind of went back to talking about like the yarn and the knitting. And she said it really wasn't a big section of it, but it's still a part of it. And I just think that's, you know, kind of cool. And hopefully more people get into it. And I think it would be a great skill to have. And she said she was taking online classes and just decided that she was going to start to knit to do time. And like, I think that's really great. If you are, you know, watching a lot of lectures, like maybe pick up some sort of skill to kind of keep your mind occupied. And they say like if you're drawing or something, that actually helps you remember things in lectures. So I'm sure, I don't know about knit. I feel like I would just like all of a sudden have like a knot. Yeah.
I'm not anything. I was thinking the same thing. For me, like drawing, I do that with our podcast, and I'll do that because I actually remember like things doodles. More. Mm-hmm, and I do doodles and all that. And actually, I come up with some pretty cool stuff. Anyways, but it helps me concentrate and makes me remember things more. But to circle back to knitting, and I apologize for interrupting, but I would totally put in a freaking knot too. I would make it like a cat almost. It'd be a cat.
You just have another yarn ball.
It'd be like,
you would take the yarn ball and make a like rat's nest ball. All right. That's a larger.
It's just gonna be larger. It's gonna be large.
Yeah. So, what did you think about this episode?
Well, I really, really found it. Of course, I'm an honorary West Virginia person at this point. And I say it every episode now, too. I love anyone that's in the art field, of course, or anyone that supports the arts. And of course, like anyone who has a small business, especially when you have art and a small business hand in hand together, I've always found that quite awesome because you don't get that as often as or hear about it as often as you should. So when we get to support people, especially those that don't have as many outlets or voices, etc. It's really, really great to have because we found out through, as you were saying, Basecamp, right? Printing and
different people.
Following them. And I think that's just really nice because it just circles back to because those are also smaller businesses too. And just having small businesses and having our small business connect to someone else really, really, always makes me have a fun full whole episode. But I think what she's doing is great because Michael's offers, you know, certain classes, but they're just not the same because you have to pay. It's a big freaking business.
You have this to pay is for her classes, have a community. Too. That's just
you do? Yeah, but it's a small business. This is a small business. But what's nice about this is, though, like you're bringing the community back together, especially after like this pandemic, right? You're actually getting to have these adventures now, trying something new, actually having these wonderful products that are made naturally and supporting also another small business within that small business because she sells small, you know, other artist products and stuff like that. So I think just all together, it was just a fun episode. I'm still trying to process it too. So it's not like I can really say too much besides like I can't wait to see what more projects she has and maybe hopefully she can have some step-by-step for us online too or maybe we'll just go travel. It's not that far for us to do like a little road trip there.
Yeah. So we don't have the person. We do have some people scheduled, but I don't, again, want to announce because schedules can change. So I will not say who it is next week, but I am very excited for next week. The person that we're interviewing, it is an artist and I love her work. And hopefully that does not change. So next week you'll be able to hear about her and her, I'll say, murals.
What I'd Like to Tell People is an independent podcast recorded and edited by us, Rachel and
Hannah. Our theme song is written and recorded by Sean Price.
Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Make sure to subscribe to our show so you can receive the latest episode. Also, rate and review our episodes so we can receive more listeners.
Go to our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com. Find the link and more information in the episode notes.
Until next week.
And this was What